former EPA whistleblower calls for a criminal investigation to prosecute the people who are responsible for poisoning the water supply for Flint. And a deep look at the case of Sirhan Sirhan and the murder of Robert Kennedy in 1968. At 11 on Between the Covers, Pamela Rottner Sakamoto discusses her book, Midnight in Broad Daylight, A Japanese-American Family Caught Between Two Worlds. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, Portland art duo Jacob and Arnold Pander talk about their newest project, the interactive adventure comic, The Dissident. But up next, it's Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. Thank you, KBOO members, for supporting your community radio station. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate today.
The KBOO Community Radio Artist in Residence program assists artists working creatively with sound. Every year, one artist or one collaborative group of artists will be awarded 20 hours of studio recording and production time with a KBOO mixologist in order to create a piece of sound art that will be publicly presented at the end of the residency. The goals of the KBOO Artist Support Program are to support and invest in individuals who are pushing themselves artistically using sound, whose work will impact the cultural landscape of Portland, and to bring those artists into the dynamic KBOO community of local, national, and international artists and activists. Applications for the 2016 KBOO Artist in Residence are due February 12th at 5 p.m. More information and application materials are at kboo.fm/AIR2016.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, February 11th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have breaking news today, of course, from Malheur, from Marnie County. David Fry is talking with negotiators, and Michelle Fiore, a legislator from Nevada. She is there. She was heading for Portland. She showed up, and she is doing a good job of talking with David, who seems to be losing it gradually over the course of the morning. Franklin Graham is also there, a son of he is a reverend too, is son of the legendary Reverend Billy Graham. He's there praying with David Fry and Michelle. That's where we are now. The last I heard, David seemed to be pretty much on the edge, and the situation in Harney County outside the Malheur Wildlife Refuge is fragile indeed. And meanwhile, we have other issues to contend with as activists, as part of a culture that actually does get the facts, know their rights, and takes a stand. That would be you, the listener out there. We're going to be speaking today with Sarah Hexer. She is a cancer patient. She's a writer, and she's an educator. She is also a recent prisoner, too. She's in D.C., and she was released following was released from jail after being arrested at a Trans-Pacific Partnership. When your life is on the line, when you are a cancer patient, you are willing to put your freedom on the line as well. This happened very recently on World Cancer Day, and Zara is going to be joining us momentarily by phone to talk about her experiences and why, for her and other patients who have terminal diseases, cancer, heart disease. There are many, many people who are dependent on our medical system to keep them alive. Into the picture crashes the Trans-Pacific Partnership, making all of their medications, everything that they are depending on for their lives, all of that is in jeopardy. Because should the Trans-Pacific Partnership pass, it gives pharmaceutical companies limitless power over the pricing system, which is already extraordinarily predatory. There are many other things. So we really have to think about the picture that of the world that we live in, of the society that we live in, which now is and pretty much entirely globalized. And with globalization, of course, comes privatization. They're virtually one and the same, hand in hand, everything. Everything is being privatized now. We would not find situations such as we have the standoff in Harney County were it not for the privatization, which excludes and confuses people who feel that they have been promised, that every promise made to them has been broken. Their education, this education system has failed them, has failed to teach them how to think analytically. It's provided them only with training for jobs which are non-existent now. The job market, indeed, that's the other failure of the system to provide for people. And they have no recourse except for some of the loonier fringe religions, which welcome them with open arms and send them out to be literally cannon fodder for the system, literally to become martyrs within their own echo chamber and with the society as a whole. We have our own form of ISIS now, and it has been bred by exactly the same conditions as those in Syria that formed ISIS. Right. So on that note, and with the aspect of with the possibility of the Trans-Pacific Partnership looming over us like a giant shadow, that we speak with someone who has first-hand experience of what it would be like to face a world in which one, your own life, day by day, is in jeopardy. Good morning, Zara. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Most people don't put themselves in situations where they could be arrested, where their freedom could be at stake. It's not nice to go to jail, even... I believe we lost Zara for just a moment. We're going to be speaking to her right now. Yesterday, we reported on sheriffs siding with criminal lawbreakers. That would be, of course, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. This is a little bit alarming because we don't know from day to day whether a sheriff who is essentially in charge of our freedom and our ability to stay out of jail. Some of these are being corrupted by the loony fringe Christian fundamentalism. Now it appears that not only sheriffs have been sucked into this vortex, but potentially members of our own ACLU. That's a frightening thought, and it's one that we're going to explore. We have Zara back on the line. Thanks, Zara. So you recently had your own law experience with the judicial system because what you are facing. What is it about the Trans-Pacific Partnership that has pushed you to the edge where you would put your freedom on the line?
I am a breast cancer patient. Unfortunately, I have advanced breast cancer, and I also lost my mother to breast cancer when I was a child. So I know firsthand how important it is to have access to medicines that are affordable and accessible. And when I found out about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, I learned that there's provisions in there that would lock in some of the problems that are currently keeping medicines inaccessible, make these problems worse, and export them around the world, which will take medicines out of the hands of people who need them in the other TPP countries. So that's why I felt like I had to do something, and I wanted to take appropriate action given the high stakes of the problem.
So how can you give listeners an idea of how much more it would cost you essentially to stay alive? Basically, it's terrible. We can put a price on a life. It's incredible that we've come to this point.
Yes, of course we can't put a price on a life, but pharma puts prices on medicine. How does pharma, when I say pharma, I mean the big pharmaceutical companies, how do they determine the prices if they have monopolies? The only upper end to the prices is how desperate people are and how much the government will pay and how much they can get from a small number of patients. They'd rather get $100,000 from a small number of patients than get a small amount of money and keep more people alive. So right now, one of the medicines I take, if I wasn't on a clinical trial, it would cost $100,000 per year.
What?
That means even now there's some women out there who might benefit from this medicine, palbociclib, who aren't able to access it. It's only approved for certain kinds of breast cancer. So if you aren't on that list, you have to pay the monopoly price most likely, and we know that's going to be unaffordable for many women already. What pharma does is it locks in the ability of the pharmaceutical companies to have de facto monopolies. That's what lets them charge these exorbitant prices. That's what let that pharma bro, Martin Shkreli, the most hated man in America, that's what let him jack up his prices from $3.50 a pill to $750 per pill. And Congress had a hearing, of course, to shame him. And my message to Congress is shame on you if you don't vote down the TPP, because the TPP locks in the policies that let pharma bro jack up those prices and lets the pharmaceutical companies charge monopoly prices that lock some people out of access to the medicines they need to stay alive.
Yeah, but Congress is just as culpable in all of this. They go hand in glove with the big pharmaceutical companies because of the revolving door. When they finish with Congress, and what do? They can be hired by Big Pharma, and people leaving Big Pharma, like, I could see Shkreli.
Well, there is some truth to that, but I'm pleased to say that there are a lot of people on both sides of the aisles in Congress who were standing up to oppose the TPP. So people shouldn't assume that it's a done deal. Yes, the pharmaceutical industry spends millions of dollars lobbying, some say even more than the defense industries, but also they listen to their constituents. So, you know, my message to anyone that's listening is let your members of Congress know that they should vote against the TPP and that it's a life and death issue for people with cancer and other serious illnesses. There's lots of information on tppkills.org and, of course, the Public Citizen website. They're leading some of the efforts around this issue, and they have information for people who want to contact their members of Congress.
Yeah, it is so important. Thank you so much for letting listeners know that whether or not you are affected directly or affected indirectly, and we all have a responsibility for caring for one another more now so than perhaps ever before. The community is really important. It's literally come down to life or death. Thank you so much for that. My guest, of course,
thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
We really, really are delighted to have you. I'd like to have you back to hear an update on your situation. My guest has been Zara Heckscher. She, of course, is a writer and breast cancer patient and an educator. This has been Air Cascadia 4, Thursday, February 11th, 2016. Rock Bergeron, engineer the show for us today. Thanks, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOO AM News Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. And stay tuned, because we'll be reporting on the situation coming out of Harney County pretty much all day. Thanks for listening.